Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about understanding grace. Understanding grace is a big deal. I once had a time in my life, actually led to my book called The Eighth Date. We're going to read some of that today, actually, where God showed me, though it costs you everything, gain understanding. Though it costs you everything, gain understanding. There's a progression that God takes us through in our lives, where Jesus says we have to have eyes that see, ears that hear, hearts that understand. And then after that, it leads to a turning, which leads to results or success or healing or times of refreshing. All of these come on the other side of this understanding that we have to develop in our hearts. Colossians 1:6 says the gospel bears fruit in our lives. Ever since the day we understood God's grace, God wants to take us on this path in life where he makes us fruitful, multiplies us, and increases us greatly. But part of that path that he has for us is developing hearts that understand. So we're going to be taking a look today. My book, The Eighth Date, is all about developing understanding. We're going to be talking about understanding God's grace and taking a look at some different angles of grace, understanding this grace from all the different angles and facets of what it really is. To be gracious is to be kind and courteous and generous. It's to be, actually, you look in the dictionary definitions, to be beautiful or of good taste, to be pleasant. You can grace somebody with your presence. You can be gracious to somebody. All leads to this place of beauty, which God is beautiful. You look in all through the Psalms, it talks about how God is beautiful. When his grace begins to flow through us, it beautifies things in our lives. We're going to get started with prayer. If you're new to us here, the way we do these daily communion meditations is we start with about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to do the other half of prayer, to get still, to examine ourselves, to get our hearts and minds positioned in the light before we get into our time of communion for today. Let's get started with the prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray for everybody who's watching or listening, all their families, their friends, everybody connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. I thank you for releasing us from darkness, transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And Father, I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us, and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us, to bless our time here together today, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace and your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And I ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So we're going to go through the other half of prayer. And we're going to go through it a little bit faster today than we normally do, just because We got a passage from this book, The Eighth Date, today. God's operating system for abundant life. A little bit longer passage. I want to make sure we have some time to get through that today. But in our other half of prayer, we talk about our four fundamentals. And I want you to think about these four fundamentals. When we think of God's grace, one of the concepts in this book, The Eighth Day, is to be receiving God's grace. This is one of the most important things I think we have to learn how to do, to receive God's grace, to get it flowing through us. And that's where we have to learn how to take that pressure off of ourselves. We have to learn to forgive ourselves, to give ourselves the same grace that God has given us, to take the pressure off of yourself, and to learn to trust and rely on God, for you to rest, for you to get out of the way, and for Him to be able to flow through you. Often we're the kink in the hose that's blocking the flow of what God's trying to do. And these four fundamentals help us to do this. And then it's got to flow through us out into the world, to other people in our lives, into the practical areas of our lives where we see it producing fruit and multiplying and growing in our lives. And learning how to do this. This all happens. Grace is received by faith. Learning how to receive it, to let it flow through you and flow out into the world. One of the most important things I think we need to know how to do. So today we're going to be taking a look at the angles of this grace to help us understand this process a little bit more. And asking for God's help to get this grace flowing through us in our lives. To truly get it, to truly understand it, so that it flows through us in our lives. So let's do a quick review on our four fundamentals. I want you to think about these four fundamentals like a pipeline of living water. In His grace, God has given us everything He has. His love, His peace, His joy, His faith, His kindness, His gentleness, His power, His spirit, His kingdom, His mind, His wisdom, His health and energy, His finances, His time, everything He has, He's given us in Christ. And learning to receive all those gifts of grace and get them flowing through us. Think of it like a pipeline of living water. And our first step, getting positioned in the light. God's released us from darkness, transferred us into the light, into the kingdom of Jesus. And this is like the on-off switch. We have to receive this by faith, receiving that grace and forgiveness. And the motivation behind it all was love. God's cherishing of us, His love for us, was the motivation behind it all. Receiving that from Him. And then we got to walk in that forgiveness with ourselves and walk in that forgiveness and love with other people as well. So to be positioned in the light, this is like the on-off switch. It gets it all flowing. Is to be positioned in love and forgiveness. Is to be positioned in thanksgiving and praise. One of the greatest expressions of faith, and we receive it all by faith, is thanksgiving and praise. Staying positioned in thanksgiving and praise. This is like the on-off switch. Either you're in a position of thankfulness or you're not. Either you're in a position of thankfulness or you're not. There's no in-between. It's either on or off. Staying positioned in that today. Then we got to magnify that light. As we magnify the light, think about it, we're expanding the capacity of what God can flow through you. We're giving Him a bigger place to flow through us in our lives. Like the pipeline got expanded. He's got a bigger area to flow. To magnify God is to make Him bigger and to make Him greater. We can magnify His word, give His word a bigger place and bigger priority in our lives. We can magnify His steadfast, unfailing love. What does it mean to magnify? It means to think about, to talk about, to meditate, to be imagining and rolling over in your mind consistently. What we magnify is all about what we're focused on. And we're all focused on something every day. To magnify the light is to magnify God's love and His faithfulness, that He always fulfills His promises, that He's always on time, that nothing's impossible for Him. But God does give us the choice to magnify darkness. We could choose to magnify the issues and the problems and all the things that are wrong, to think about them, to talk about them. You probably had an example where you had some problem or issue, and the more you talked about it, the more you thought about it, the more the darkness grows. The more stressed out you become, the more hopeless you become, the more confused you become, the more you try to work this problem over from every angle. Because the solution is found in the light. To magnify the light is also to magnify your righteousness in Christ. who he made you to be, what's been made available to you because of the sacrifice of Jesus. That's to magnify the light. That God's with you and he's for you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He's got an amazing plan for your life. To magnify the light. And the good news is it only takes 1 second. If we find that we're magnifying darkness, we're positioned in darkness, to turn it back around. To change our focus. This is not denying that there's issues or problems. It's simply looking at them in the face and saying, you know what? God's bigger. To magnify him as bigger than what's going on around you. To magnify him. Give him a bigger area to work. But we got to work at changing our focus sometimes. Sometimes we get off track. Learning to recognize the symptoms. When we're positioned in darkness, when we're magnifying darkness, the symptoms are everything feels heavy and oppressive, confusing, like there's no way out, like you're trapped or you're stuck. There's the fear, the stress, the worry, the dread of the future, the hopelessness. Usually we're lacking presence. We're thinking about the past or we're worried about the future. When we're magnifying that light, everything feels free and easy and effortless and energizing. You can be working harder than ever, but still have more energy than ever. Then there's that peace that surpasses all understanding, that joy of the Lord that is your strength, that equips you to function in God's strength and power rather than your own. Then our third fundamental is staying tuned in for God's leading. As that grace begins to flow, that wisdom, that knowledge, that leading begins to flow in your life, waiting for it to lead you in the direction he has for you. Like a GPS, waiting for it to tell you when to turn, which direction to go. Proverbs 8 says, blessed is the man who listens for God, waiting daily in his doorway, taking the time to get still and to listen, stay tuned in for his leading and his voice. You get positioned in the light. All of a sudden, your ability to discern his leading and direction in your life greatly increases. He begins to lead you one graceful step at a time to this beautiful, spacious place. One of the things I like to do is every night before bed, just get still and just recap the day. What went well today? What was I learning today? And I'll ask this question, God, what was it you're trying to teach me or show me today? And just get still and just write down whatever comes to mind. Get still and listen and write down whatever comes to mind. You'd be amazed. You begin to do this day by day, what it will do for you. But then as we get the plans, we got to put into practice our fourth fundamental, which is doing what you know to do. As you get positioned in the light, that grace begins to flow. You stay tuned in for his leading and direction. He's going to give you some instructions, some steps to take, some places to turn, some things to do. This is where we got to do what you know to do. You got to walk in the light that you have, and you got to do what you know to do. Executing today the things that you know to do. Often we procrastinate and they build up on the inside of us. But as you flip that light switch on, you expand, you magnify that light, give him a bigger area to work. You stay tuned in for his leading and direction and timing also. There's a right timing for every step as well. You stay tuned in for those, and then all of a sudden you take those steps when he says to move. This grace just begins to flow through you. Now you've got your whole spirit, your whole soul, your whole physical body all engaged in this process. It becomes a very beautiful thing. So we're going to take a look. This is a passage from my book, The Eighth Date. Like I said, I had a time where God showed me you needed to develop understanding. I was like, okay, understand what? What does it need to understand? That's where I got led to that verse. The gospel bears fruit in your lives, Colossians 1:6. Ever since the day you understood God's grace. And it took me about 2.5 years, I think, to understand. And I went through some major struggles to get to this place of understanding. But once you understand and things click, this grace begins to flow in a new level. So here's the passage here. It's a little bit longer, so bear with me for just for a little bit. We're going to be talking about angles of grace today. So if grace is how our hearts are changed, we must understand grace. So what is grace? Typically, I always thought of grace as God's unmerited favor, or to put it another way, him helping us even though we don't deserve it. But then I came across Luke 2:40. It says, Jesus grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, and in favor with God and man. What hit me about this verse was that God's grace was on Jesus. Why did Jesus need God's grace if he had never sinned? This grace must be something different than I had understood. So now we're going to talk about the angles of grace. A concept that has changed my life is that it takes multiple angles and perspectives to get to the truth. There's more to grace than just undeserved favor and blessing from God. One of the definitions of grace is gift. There are several gifts of grace that God has given us. Let's take a look at some of the angles of grace. Grace angle number one is repentance. God gives us the ability to repent whenever we miss the mark. This gift gets us into the kingdom and also keeps us moving forward. When we understand that God has given us the ability to repent and access his kingdom, this understanding also leads to gratitude. Grace and graciousness are linked together. The prayer we say before meals is often called grace, which is thanksgiving. The first angle of grace is gratitude, which is one of the greatest expressions of faith. When we have faith that God is extending grace to us and wants to make us great, gratitude flows out of us. We access and receive everything from God by faith, which is often expressed as gratitude. All of the grace gifts are received from God through faith and gratitude. Grace angle number two, righteousness. The second angle of grace is righteousness. We are right with God through Jesus. He paid our debt of sin, and his righteousness has been credited to our accounts. We receive this gift by faith and thanksgiving, and the benefits of the gift, the benefits of righteousness, are peace with God, along with his blessing and favor that we don't deserve. Righteousness levels the playing field, making all of us in equal standing with God based on the works of Jesus and not our own. Romans 5:17 says that those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Grace angle number three, divine power and equipping. One of the biblical uses of the word grace is divine power or enabling. The grace that was on Jesus was God's divine power, equipping and enabling. Because of the unmerited favor that Jesus has bought for us, God graces us with power on the inside. His grace is a divine empowerment to do what we can't do on our own. We could also call it the anointing, but it's supernatural power. One of the names of God is El Shaddai, which means more than enough. This divine power or equipping he put on the inside of us is more than enough for every demand we face in life. This power is limitless, knows no bounds, and is inexhaustible. We have an eternal, limitless source of power on the inside of us. It's God's power, not our own. So a recap of grace so far. Number one, we repent and receive God's grace by faith, knowing that he wants to make us great, and we express gratitude for that. Then we receive God's grace with the understanding that the gift is unmerited and undeserved and given because of Jesus, not because of our own works. Then number three, we acknowledge that God's grace is equipping us with power, which leads to humility because it's not our own doing. This is God's power and not our own. All of this has to do with receiving this gift from God, so that the power and potential of grace can flow through us. Grace angle number four, flow. When there's grace, there's a sense of ease and flow. We must learn to let this grace flow through us, which is the job of the Holy Spirit, who's called the Spirit of Grace. For water to flow through a hose, the kinks must be removed. In the same way, we must learn to get ourselves out of the way so the Holy Spirit can flow through us. The first way to increase this flow is to get into a better rhythm with the Holy Spirit by connecting with God every day and taking action on those nudges that we get on the inside. The biggest way we limit the flow of grace is by putting too much pressure on ourselves. Imagine squeezing a garden hose in the middle. This would block the flow. We must learn to take ourselves out of the way. God's trying to flow through us, but we must stop limiting him. We must stop beating ourselves up, putting excess pressure on ourselves, and disqualifying ourselves because we're looking at our own power rather than resting in God's. Many people disqualify themselves from what God wants to do in their lives because they think they're not worthy, capable, or good enough. They're looking at their own strength, but they must get out of the way. It's about the worthiness of Jesus, not us. We must learn to rest from our work and let God do his work through us. Even Jesus said he could do nothing by himself. It was the Father in him that did the work. Grace angle number 5, ease. Another angle of grace has to do with beautiful or effortless movement. Watching a ballerina, we may say that she moves with grace and ease. Graceful movement makes hard things look easy. God's divine power beautifies us and makes hard things easy and effortless in our lives. It gives us the ability to do things that we can't do in our own strength. Too often, we're told to hustle and grind away at things. But when God's grace flows, we have the ability to work and increase our performance while feeling that the work was actually easier. When his grace flows, our ability to get results is multiplied. The Christian life is not meant to be one where we discipline ourselves through willpower and self-effort. The Christian life is a life changed by the power flowing through us, by his power flowing through us, beautifying us and making things effortless. God's grace gives us the ability to get results with the feeling that it's easy. Grace angle number 6, extended time. Another use of the word grace is a grace period. During a grace period, extra time or a good measure is given to make sure that people can live up to their side of the bargain. Time is the biggest source of pressure in our lives. When time is extended, pressure decreases. Grace gives a good measure of time to take the pressure off. Once I was shooting a basketball and heard the Lord say, "I want you to make 100 baskets." When I reached the 60s, 70s, and 80s, I wondered if my counting was correct. Instead of stopping at what I thought was 100, I kept going to 120 for good measure to make sure that I made 100. When I did this, I understood a good measure. A good measure is going above and beyond to make sure that we get things right. God has given us a grace period by giving us plenty of time to get things right. The reason God has given us time and change in the world is that he loves us too much to let us stay the way we are. We have room to grow, and he wants to give us time to change. He wants us to have responsive hearts that repent and change so that his kingdom expands. Grace angle number 7, presence. Another form of grace is gracing someone with your presence. God has graced us with his presence. To grace with presence means that we show up or are available. We have access to God at any time, and he's always with us. When grace flows, it results in us being more present. Taking the pressure off of ourselves and others by putting the pressure on God allows us to rest, which causes us to be more present. When we're present, the tables are turned and grace begins to flow out of us. When we're more present, we'll be more aware of ways to help other people. If we're ever just going through the motions in life, grace isn't flowing and a change is needed. Flowing grace makes us more present and aware of opportunities to help others. Presence is the most important angle of grace, because by simply focusing on God's presence with us and becoming more present ourselves, grace flows. Grace angle number 8, our last one. Grace is also used to describe having pleasant manners, pleasing speech, or attractive appearance and behavior. For example, a woman can carry herself with grace. Another word could be elegance or beauty. We're back to the idea of beauty and being an attractive person. We can also handle tough situations with grace, meaning that we have poise under pressure. We can handle tough, pressure-filled situations with grace, ease, and beauty because we're resting in God's grace. We're on our way to becoming the spotless, beautified bride of Christ. His grace is what enables this to happen. It's not through our striving. Grace gets us started, and even though we don't deserve it, and then carries us through to a place of effortless beauty, ease, poise, pleasantness, and attractiveness, even under pressure. His grace gives us the time and the ability to make really hard things look easy, effortless, and beautiful. So what do we get when we put all these angles together? Grace is received through faith. Grace is God's unearned favor and blessing that has come to equip and to enable us to function in life with beauty, ease, and attractiveness in our words and actions, even when under pressure. Grace also gives us a good measure of time to make sure that we get it right. Grace leads to us becoming the spotless, beautiful bride, beautiful in speech, action, manners, and presence. In essence, we become full of grace, just like Jesus. So we're going to take communion over this today, asking God for his help to understand this grace and to see it flowing through us at greater levels in our lives. So Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for you. Thankful for your grace, all that you've made available to us. And we're asking for your help today, Lord, that we would understand your grace, that we would have hearts that understand, and for your help in seeing this grace flow through us at higher and higher levels, Lord. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, Jesus was full of grace and truth. He took the bread and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he told his disciples, "Take it, receive it." That he makes you right and holy and perfect. He made all this available through his one sacrifice. Father, we thank you for this bread and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." In Corinthians, it says that as often as we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus. His death is a big deal. In the case of a will or an estate plan, you have to prove somebody's death to activate all of the inheritance on the other side. For all this grace to be made available, every time we do this, we're proclaiming his death, that all this is available. Father, we thank you for this cup and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. So now it's about walking it out today. Making today a masterpiece. How do you do that? You stay positioned in the light. Keep magnifying that light. Keep your focus on him. Stay tuned in for his leading and direction for today. And you put into practice, you do the things that you know to do. And you do them trusting and relying on God's help and his grace and equipping to flow through you to do those things. That's how you make today a masterpiece. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com.